As we prepare to hear God's word and let the Holy Spirit be at work in our lives, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the depth of your forgiveness to us. Please fill my words with the power of your Holy Spirit and open our hearts to hear, to believe, and to obey your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear brothers and sisters, tonight I'm preaching on the freedom of forgiveness based on the passage that we heard from Genesis 45 just earlier. And it's about Joseph and God and us. And actually, it takes in quite a bit more of the Joseph cycle too. Now, forgiveness is a bit of a slippery concept to get a handle on. And so I'd like to begin by asking the most important question, which is, why is my clicker not working? How are your potatoes? I've got a box of spuds here. And I've found, some of you have heard this illustration before, but I've found it to be very helpful in giving us a concrete picture of what it actually means to forgive someone. Now, I want you to imagine that on each of these potatoes, I take my permanent marker and I write on them the name of the person who hurt me and what they did to me and the date so that I don't forget and so that they don't get away with it. They don't get off the hook. What do you think would happen after a while? What kind of things might happen? Genuine question. Is this a hypothetical question? The potatoes would go moldy. Not only would they go moldy, they'd probably go rotten. Has anyone ever smelled rotten potatoes? It's pretty gross, isn't it? Yeah, what else would happen? The potatoes would grow. Yep, they'd sprout. Yep. What about the box? Day after day, might get heavier and heavier and heavier. I'd eventually have a lot of spuds in here, wouldn't I? This is a really good picture of what unforgiveness does to us. It both weighs us down and it poisons our life. God's going to bring us into the freedom of forgiveness. So how are your spuds? It's really easy to say, oh yeah, that's just a silly analogy, but actually that's what unforgiveness does to us. How are your spuds? Now on to the story of Joseph. We will get back to those potatoes, don't worry about that. Also, I suggested that I could use them to throw at people who are sleeping during my sermon. But then you might have reason to have a grudge against me, so I better not do that. Last week, I looked at the story of Joseph, and I said that at some of the difficult times of Joseph's life, he made some very important decisions, and that his decisions, and in fact, our decisions, shape our character. Our choices shape the kind of people that we are becoming. And when Joseph was faced with wealth, when he was the steward of Potiphar's house, Joseph chose integrity, and he used that wealth in an honest way. When Joseph was faced with the temptation of lust, when Potiphar's wife basically threw herself on him and said, "Come to bed with me, you handsome hunk of a man," Joseph chose purity. Faced with despair when Joseph was thrown into prison because he refused to sleep with Potiphar's wife, Joseph chose hope and trust in God. And faced with pride when he was able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams for him, Joseph rather chose humility and gave the glory to God. I said that our choices shape our character. Perhaps nothing shapes character so much as the choice to forgive. Because faced with revenge and the power to exact revenge on his brothers, Joseph chooses forgiveness. There's actually a deep theology and practice of forgiveness that comes to us in the story of Joseph and his brothers. And let's have a bit more of a look at forgiveness. First of all, we need to understand that all of us, at one time or another, are both perpetrators of sin. In other words, we are the people who are doing wrong to others or to God. And we are also victims of sin at various times. We are the people who are on the receiving end. And the truth is that sin hurts. It's not just a neutral thing. It hurts other people when we sin against them. It hurts us when we are sinned against. And it hurts our relationship with God. As perpetrators of sin, we face guilt, the guilt of a conscience that knows that it has done wrong. And we also face fear, the fear of punishment. What's going to happen to me if I get found out? Or what's going to happen to me if that person has the opportunity to get back at me? Being victims of sin can lead to pain. It hurts. It hurts when someone betrays you. It hurts when someone does something wrong to you. And if it's undealt with, this pain can build up into bitterness, the kind of bitterness that poisons our lives. God's forgiveness deals not only with perpetrators, with the wrongdoers, but also with victims. And it deals with guilt and fear and pain and bitterness. Let's have a look at those first two through the story of Joseph. First of all, we discover that forgiveness is not condoning sin or allowing abuse to continue. It's not saying it's okay because it's not okay. Clearly, the brothers of Joseph carry guilt in their conscience for their whole lives. In Genesis chapter 44, when Joseph is testing them out by putting the silver back in their sacks and they're afraid about what's going to happen, the brothers say, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We threw him in the well, we sold him to the slave traders, we think he's dead, and now we're being punished." And one of them says, "Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give an accounting for his blood." And in chapter 44 of Genesis, just before the passage that was read out for us, Joseph is testing his brothers again. He's not condoning their violence within the family. He sees whether there are signs of repentance. In fact, Joseph has already forgiven his brothers, but in his wisdom, he knows that it's not okay to just go telling everybody about that forgiveness without seeing signs of repentance. And Joseph finds out that his brothers have changed. He says, "I'm going to keep Benjamin here, the youngest of you brothers, because my silver cup was found in his sack. So I'm going to keep him as my slave." And Judah speaks up on Benjamin's behalf. Judah says, "Please, my Lord, don't do this. Don't send us home to our father without our youngest brother because it's going to kill him. Please take me instead. I'll stay here in jail. Benjamin can go back home." So for Joseph, forgiveness is not condoning sin or allowing abuse to continue. Rather, forgiveness is dealing with the guilt of conscience that the perpetrator experiences. I looked at my theological dictionary, and it talked about forgiveness quite a lot, surprisingly, as being one of the main themes of the Bible. And it says, "It is extremely important to note that the focus in the meanings of this word is upon the guilt of the wrongdoer and not upon the wrongdoing itself. The event of wrongdoing is not undone, but the guilt resulting from such an event is pardoned. To forgive, therefore, means essentially to remove the guilt resulting from wrongdoing." And Jacob says to his brothers, So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. Don't feel angry with yourselves. He deals with their guilt graciously. Interestingly, as Joseph sends his brothers home later in chapter 45, he says to them, he loads them up with stuff. He gives them good gifts. He says, take these back to my father and bring the whole family back. And just as they leave, in Genesis 45, verse 24, then Joseph sent his brothers away, and as they were leaving, he said to them, don't quarrel on the way. Have you changed, guys? Have you repented? Forgiveness is not condoning sin. It's dealing with the guilt of conscience. Secondly, forgiveness is not getting even or getting justice. So often on the news, on the TV, when we see someone who has been horribly wronged, such as having a family member murdered, they're outside the courtroom going, we want justice. We want justice. And what they really mean by that is, we want the person who made us suffer to suffer as well. We want them to end up in jail with a jail sentence that's commensurate with the crime that they have committed. But that's not what Joseph does. Rather, forgiveness is dealing with the fear of punishment. In Genesis chapter 50, right at the end of the Genesis story, Jacob, the father of the brothers, dies. And the brothers are terrified about what Joseph might do to them. Let me read that passage to you. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph, saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they have committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. They were still afraid of him. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. And at that point, if Joseph had wanted justice, if he'd wanted to get even, he would have said, damn right you are. I spent years rotting in jail because of what you guys did to me. Now you're going to end up there. Thank God that Joseph doesn't do that. Rather, he deals with the fear that they have that they're still going to be punished. And this is how he replies. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Do you see what eye for eye, see what seeking after justice and revenge does? It's like holding on to your potato and saying, those people hurt me and they're never going to get away with it. Never, ever, I'm not letting go. I'm going to get them back one day. And that poisons your life. You down. For those who are victims of sin, forgiveness, we discover, is not letting them off the hook. This comes through in this passage from Genesis 50 as well. Joseph says, am I in the place of God? You see, God is ultimately the one who judges. God is the one who avenges evil. God is the one who makes restitution. And when we refuse to forgive others who have hurt us, we're actually putting ourselves in the place of God. That's pretty serious stuff. Rather, forgiveness is not letting them off the hook, it's letting you off their hook. Because if you hold on to your spud and you say, but you don't know how much they hurt me, they're still hurting you. They still have their hooks in you. So forgiveness when we are able to forgive those who have hurt us, is dealing with the bitterness of thirsting for revenge. And forgiveness is letting you off their hook. Whew, how good does that feel? Fourthly, forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is an act of the will that is accompanied by gracious actions. And it often is that our feelings are healed in the wake of our forgiveness of other people. But our feelings are not the basis of our forgiveness. Rather than forgiveness being a feeling, forgiveness is an act of the will dealing with the pain of being hurt. And it's this that leads to freedom and to healing. While Jacob does not use the words, "I forgive you," in Genesis 50, he reassures his brothers, he speaks kindly to them, and then he makes sure throughout the rest of their life that they are provided for and their families are cared for. He puts their sin in the context of God's work in their lives. He doesn't let the pain of the past define him. And that's what happens when we forgive those who hurt us. We refuse to let the pain of the past define our present. As Joseph does that, he brings an end to some cycles of family violence and sin that have gone on for several generations. In Genesis chapter 47, when Jacob, the father of the 12 brothers and the 12 tribes, comes back to Egypt, he meets Pharaoh, and he says to Pharaoh, "The years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult." Now, I don't know if any of you are going to live to 130, and I don't know that if you do that you'll say, "My years have been few." But Jacob's years have been filled with pain and sorrow because of the violence and the dysfunction in his own family. And yet Joseph's forgiveness takes that cycle and breaks the chains and sets the whole family free. Because in Genesis 48, Jacob can say to his son Joseph, "I never expected to see your face again, and now God has allowed me to see your children too." Forgiveness is not a feeling, it's an act of the will that deals with the pain of the past. So where's the good news for us? Where's the freedom of forgiveness? Well, these things that are true about forgiveness are true about God's forgiveness of us as well. And that is good news for us. Firstly, forgiveness is not condoning sin or allowing abuse to continue. God, our holy and awesome God, does not condone sin. He doesn't look at the evil that is happening in the world and go, "Oh, that's all right. No one really cares, it doesn't matter." Because it does matter. But what God does is he deals with the guilt of our sin. In 1 Peter 2, verse 24, it says, "Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live to righteousness." God deals with our guilt by taking it on himself in the person of Jesus on the cross. Oops. Secondly, forgiveness is not getting even or getting justice. God does not give us what we deserve, which would be justice, and it wouldn't be pretty. But rather, he gives us mercy, which is not getting what we do deserve. And he gives us grace, which is getting what we don't deserve, because he's incredibly generous and loving and gracious with us. So God's forgiveness deals with the fear of punishment. In 1 John 4, verse 18, it says, "There is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out all fear, for fear has to do with punishment." God is not out to get you. His forgiveness for you means that God is on your side. God is for you. You don't have to fear his punishment
because Jesus has already taken on himself that punishment.
As God's forgiven people, God asks and commands us, in fact, to forgive others as he forgave us. And through doing this, God lets us off their hook. He deals with the bitterness in our life that comes from unforgiveness. God's forgiveness gives us the capacity to forgive others. And so the commands, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you, are not legalistic requirements for living life, but rather invitations into a life that is free from the poison of bitterness and free from the pain of the past. Like chucking out all these spuds. This is great. Feels good. I like that sound too. Nice. That's what forgiveness is like. I'll pick those up later. Through forgiveness, Jesus leads us to freedom from the pain and the bitterness. He restores our life. He deals with the poison. He takes off the burden that we carry. And he releases us. And finally, forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is an act of the will. You know the verse, any verses. For God so loved the world, action, that he gave his only Son, action, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. How are your potatoes? It's possible that through this sermon, the Holy Spirit has been bringing to mind some of the people that have hurt you that maybe you haven't dealt with in forgiveness. During our time of confession, there's actually going to be a time where you're invited to let those people go into God's hands, silently to forgive them. And then if the Holy Spirit prompts you to pursue that forgiveness and that reconciliation with them. The freedom of forgiveness. God longs for us to be free. He has done everything in order to make it so that we may be free from the pain and the bitterness of sin committed against us, and so that we may be free from the guilt and the fear of the sin that we have committed. He's done that through Jesus, and he calls us to live in the freedom of forgiveness as Joseph lived with his brothers. Thanks be to God for his incredible mercy and grace for us, his unending forgiveness that can flow into the lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen.